Isaiah chapter 9. We're going to read a little bit from there. And we got a Christmas card to the church from the Higginbotham Quartet. So I was going to mention that. It's up here on the podium. You're welcome to come by and view that. We appreciate that. Always enjoy hearing them when they come to sing for us. If you open up to Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 this morning, just one verse on our mind. We read it in the Christmas programs and most Christmas stories. If you hear it, it is a popular verse this time of year. Most pages are got here. Just one verse. Won't you stand with us this morning as we read? It says in Isaiah 9, verse 6, "For unto us a child is born, and to us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." Would you bow your heads with us? We look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Brother Robert Walters, you're here to lead us in prayer. Robert, you may be seated. The verse starts, "For unto us a child is born, and to us a son is given." So as you know, I like to do, I like to take the scripture and often verse by verse to break that verse down into smaller sections and study that. And definitions help me a lot, and I've done that. I've been studying on this a few weeks actually, and this led me into, I told Brother Willard earlier, led me into a study of Judah, and that's a wonderful study. I hope I get to use some of that this morning, maybe in the coming weeks. But looking at this verse, "Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given," we quickly can think of Christmas and Isaiah prophesying about the sending of Christ Jesus. And it's easy to see that in there. And it goes on to say, "And the government shall be upon his shoulders." And we know that he was going to be the king of all his people, the greatest king this world's ever known. He was going to rule over them with his word and his instruction. And we may live in America or any other country in this world today, but if you're a child of the king, then you live your life by the teachings of the word of God. And his government is upon all of us. "And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace." So this was a bit of rejoicing here in the prophecy of Isaiah. He said, there's going to be a child, there's going to be a son that's going to be born and given unto you. And he's going to lead his people. And he's going to be wonderful. He's going to be a counselor. He is going to be great. And this was much needed in this time because Isaiah was writing to there in Judah, those that was in Jerusalem, and I don't want to get too in-depth of this, and I do this from time when I'm studying a particular topic, but southern Judah is who we're talking about here, whose capital was Jerusalem, and here Isaiah was prophesying to this people, and southern Judah and northern Judah had split. They had separated because Rehoboam was sent to be king. And Rehoboam, if you study the Old Testament, I think he was the fourth king of Israel. And there you'll find that grandson of David, so Solomon gets you kind of in the lineage here. But you'll find there was a separation because the tribes of northern Judah didn't accept him as king. And southern Judah, who became southern Judah, separated from those other tribes, the tribe of Judah, and Benjamin later and their tribe joined with Judah's tribe, and this is what we have in southern Judah and Judea, and you can get a little bit confusing when you're studying some of those names in the Old Testament. But just remember that there was a separation between of Judah, there was a separation of Israel to north and south, and Judah being of the southern because they accepted the king that God had set in place. Now, we can preach about a lot of things, but we can stay with that for a moment because that's never changed. There has always been, there always will be, as long as time continues, a separation between those that accept God and His rule or those that don't.
Amen.
Come out from among them, be ye separate. So whether we're reading in the book of Isaiah or in the book of Acts or in the book of Revelations or maybe back to Genesis, there you can see a separation. You can see a dividing place between those that accept the will of God in their life and those that choose not to. God had set forth a king for His people, and some accepted that king and some rejected it. Those that accepted it, here Isaiah is writing to it. That's important because listen to what this says, for unto us. Now look back at this word. Unto. Simple word, when we read a lot, what's it mean? It means to, but it puts emphasis on that group. Unto. So it brings out their emphasis here, concern about this group that's being addressed. So unto references both unto us a child and unto us a son is given. So Isaiah said, here, I want to emphasize to who I'm writing. He said the emphasis on two is to us. Isaiah said, this isn't some group of people that I don't know. This is us. This is you and I. This is our people. I couldn't tell much to the group in North Korea that they would understand that because I don't have much in common with them. If I were to try to tell some of the folks there, unless it were to be the divine ordinance of God, then my words wouldn't hold much substance for them. Because my life and their life are not equal. They're different. They're so far separated that we don't have much common ground. But Isaiah said here, he said, listen, I want to put in a little emphasis on who I'm writing this to. I'm prophesying to us, to you and I. Who is us? Well, that's why I broke down Judah. Us is the southern part of Judah. Us is those that accepted the will of God and said, hey, Rehoboam is the king of Israel, and we will accept the will of God in our life. And Isaiah said, listen, I want to emphasize to you today that to us, a child is born. So to always pay attention. Sister Louise does a wonderful job helping me with that, actually. And she's not feeling well, not able to be here, but make sure you tell her because she always likes these little words in the verses, and she does a good job helping me to study up on those. So unto us is a very important piece of this verse. So when you're going through the Christmas season, you hear this and you think about the beautiful verse that teaches about a child being born and a son being given, and you hear about what a great king that he is. Remember, that starts off by a very important part of that scripture by saying this is to us. So, Brother Doug, I'm not part of Southern Judah. Well, wait, we are if we're part of the us. See, because what Isaiah is saying, he said, this is to those that have separated from the non-believers, the one that did not accept Rehoboam as being king of Israel, and those that accepted Rehoboam. Remember, there was a separation there. Isaiah said here, this is to those that were separated. So the us still holds true today. Unto us a son is given, a child is born. And to us that believe, if you've been separated from the old man and been raised up a new man, you're part of the us. Praise God today. If you can raise up and say, listen, I'm part of the us, Brother Doug. Because there are many in the world today that are not. They've not accepted this child. They've not accepted this son, which is a beautiful gift that we want to talk about today. Listen, they know about Jesus Christ. They're very familiar with the Christmas tree and lights and gifts. They know about this Son of God that we talk about, but they're not part of the us. So they're not part of the for unto us. They're on the outside looking in. They've got a part of it. They understand it in part, but they don't know in full. Though I look through a glass darkly, but when face to face, then I'll comprehend this thing. But right now, listen, they don't understand it. Maybe somebody here this morning, just happened to come down to the house of worship. Here it's about Christmas time. Least I could do, Brother Wheeler, to satisfy my family fussing at me. I'll get dressed up and put some good clothes on. We'll just run on down and listen to some Christmas. The choir was beautiful, was it not? I love Christmas music. Good job, Sister Melody, David, Dylan, all the folks that's in it. Maybe you just come down today to hear some good Christmas songs in the choir and hoping that, hey, this won't go much over an hour. You didn't know much about Brother Doug, if that's the case. But listen, you just happened to stop by today. You know in part, but not in full, this Christmas story. So unto us gives us our affiliation with a group or a nation or a people. And you had that affiliation if you made a choice in your life to accept the love of God. Isn't Christmas a wonderful time? For those that have the love of God in their heart, Christmas is an amazing time of the year. It's special. The birth of the Son of God, we're going to talk about. But listen, it's special because we feel that love, that gift that God had given us. For those that don't have that love in their heart, Christmas can be a difficult time. Can be a hard time because we don't have the greatest love in our heart. And then we brought on stresses with Christmas and things that are really unneeded. I wish they weren't part of this season. And that society's kind of built upon that. But it's still a fantastic, a wonderful time of the year. I hope you enjoy it. I hope as you go through the journey of it, you enjoy everything that Christmas has to give to you. And if you're a part of the US, you will enjoy the love that comes along with this season. So we've got to the part for unto us, and we know that we're either in this group or we're not, and it says, a child is born, a son is given. I have said it several times, I still hold to it, the greatest miracle I think we have in the world today is the birth of a child. It's just beyond my understanding how two people can be blessed with such a wonderful gift of a child. And the creation of life that's given through the blessings of God is, I believe, the greatest miracle. And it's every time we stop by to visit with a newborn or go by the hospital, see, I mean, you just look at that little thing and think, we are so incapable of creating such a magnificent life. If you can't see God in that, you're blinded to the greatest miracle in the world today. And then this little thing is going to grow and go, I mean, sometimes really big. Where's Tyler at? I don't see Tyler. Right? Get tall, way up there. But it starts off just a little baby. And you can look at that little thing and it cries and moves and all the things that we do is, and you think, man, that's the face of God. It's a miracle. The greatest miracle in the world today is, and you still see that. It wasn't any different that day in Bethlehem. It's not any different today. Listen, Jesus Christ was born to a virgin mother, Mary, and Joseph accepted this. I want you to leave today at least knowing this, that this babe was born to a virgin mother. And Joseph had to accept, make a choice to accept this, and sure, an angel spoke to him, and certainly God. But folks, that was his decision to accept this birth of the child of God. And it's no different in Bethlehem or in James Hill, Kentucky, or Taylor County, Kentucky. Listen, this birth of a child was a miracle then, it's still a miracle today. And God sent forth for man and woman to join together and bless them with a child. And this was His decision to bless us with such a miracle. We can still visit that and see that. And in Bethlehem there, what a wonderful gift, a beautiful miracle is the birth of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And Joseph making a decision that he would have been well accepted by society if he had simply said, Mary, this cannot be right, and it could put her away, and she could have been made an outcast in the community, and certainly many could have come and would have even took up stones maybe at the mother of our Savior.
But Joseph, being a good man and listening to the words of God and there making a decision to accept this gift that God had sent. Listen, Isaiah wrote about it some 2,800 years earlier than this. Isaiah said here, or it's about 800 years earlier than the birth, said here, unto us a child is born. A son is given, more than a child, but a son is given. Now, nowhere else in history could you find recorded where a son was given. See, because Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of the Father, and no one else could give of a son but the Father. So this is the only place that a son could be given. Now, all through the span of time, we read about the birth of a child and what a great miracle that is. But this is the only place that a son could be given. Say, well, no, I read, Brother Doug, about this old time in history. This thing happened. Listen, you can't give away something that's not yours. And we don't belong to nobody but God the Father. So only the Father could give away a son. And only the begotten Son could be given. And that was done at the hand of the Father. And this is the only place that old Isaiah knew about 800 years before his birth. So Isaiah wrote to a people that chose to accept the will of God in their life and said, I want to tell you something. Let me remind you, yeah, we've been defeated. Yeah, the enemy has pressed upon us and we found many defeats at the hand of battle. But I want to tell you about the coming of a Christ child, a gift greater than anything you ever knew. And it's going to be wonderful. He's going to be our counselor. He's going to be the greatest king of all time. It's going to be a gift given by the hand of God. And Joseph made a decision some 800 years later, and an angel spoke to him when he could have put Mary to the side and made her an outcast. He decided instead to accept the word of God and rear up this child, this great gift, this son of the Most High. What's that matter to me, Brother Doug? Because you and I are no different than Joseph. Listen to me. We're just innocent bystanders. You might not have thought of old Joseph in such a manner. Listen, he didn't have a whole lot of choice in the matter about Mary becoming pregnant. That was done by the Father above. And just like old Joseph, I had to make a choice in my life. Am I going to accept the Word of God? Or am I going to deny it and make it an outcast in the world? Am I going to be a part of the us, or am I going to be a part of the them? Am I going to be those that Isaiah is writing to, or am I going to be somebody that's out there in the world living it up, as they like to call it? See, Joseph, being a good and righteous man, he listened to the word of God and he accepted this greatest gift. Praise be to the King. That one day conviction fell in my heart and I was terrible and I didn't deserve salvation. But God still called my name and gave and shared his love with me and gave me an opportunity to accept that same gift that Joseph had. I've never been able to look into Bethlehem stable. I've never seen the manger that our Savior sat in. And I don't really need to, church, because I've seen the same love. I've looked upon the same face. I've held the same gift that was afforded to all the world. And that's the gift of Jesus Christ. It's recorded that all the things that were done by the miracles that were done by Jesus Christ were recorded, expect all the books in the world couldn't hold them. Can you imagine what growing up and seeing the hand of God at work? Can you imagine seeing this babe growing up to be a 2-year-old? The terrible two. You ever thought about the terrible twos for Jesus? I'm going to tell you something. I think Mary and Joseph, just like Doug and Amy, had to chase right down the floor after that little 2-year-old. I believe that. Because he was a carnal man. He was born in flesh. He hungered and he had thirst just like you and I do. I believe he went through the stage of crawling and walking. But there was miracles on top of miracles that was done at the hands of the Son of God. But the greatest of those miracles was the miracle of love. And he showed love to all those that was around him. Let me tell you, he loved Mary and he loved Joseph. How much did he love them? Enough that even at the crucifixion upon the cross, he looked down and said, Son, behold thy mother. Mother, behold thy son. He was concerned about his mother in his dying day. And he was concerned about you and I for the same time that he uttered about his mom. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He said, look down the span of time, and there's a boy by the name of Doug Baldwin, and I love him, Father, and I want him to have salvation, and I give him the gift of my love. Greatest gift we've ever had was talked about by Isaiah, for unto us. He said, let me emphasize, this is to those that accept him, those that says he's king and is separated from the world. See, I'm talking about Christmas this morning. Isn't it a beautiful time? You come to church and of all things heard about Christmas. Isn't that the way it ought to be? Praise be to God. I love this time of year. I love my Savior. But folks, I'm telling you, this is a world we're living in that's lost and dying. And I watch and see that even in Sunday school this morning, I tell you, the news is so fast you can't even keep up with the bad stuff. They shared with me something, and I'd watched a little bit of it on TV, and I thought to myself, I mean, this is bad. I didn't know it was that bad, Brother Adams. Bad news happens, and it happens a lot. But the good news that Isaiah wrote about has never changed. The good news of love, the love of Jesus, the love of God. He said, we're just a little people. We're the southernmost part of Judah. They said, nothing good has ever come from Nazareth over there. Nothing good over there in Galilee. That's a place nothing good comes from. I'm going to tell you, something good come out of it. And that something was the greatest love this world has ever known. A love that lives in the hearts of the us. Those that's accepted Jesus. Let this be the season that you look upon Christmas and see that star. That great star, we talked about it. And I believe it was Wednesday night. I don't remember. Maybe it was a sermon. We talked about it in the Christmas. A star that showed itself to the wise men. Let yourself be one of the wise men to see the bright light of a star of heaven that says something's changed. Let that light lead you to a love that's greater than anything you've ever known. Oh, Isaiah, you think Isaiah was worthy of this? You ought to study Isaiah. Boy, that right there is a study worth your time. Oh, Isaiah, the prophet, if I understand, he might have been the nephew of King Uzziah, which was the king of Jerusalem. Might study on that a little bit. I think if you find a name ending in IH, you'll find that means they were a noble of those that were in Jerusalem. Now, this is outside the Word of God. This is just some study I've done, so you study on it too. Come back and talk to me about it. I like that. He was a noble, though, of Jerusalem, sat in the king's palace. This man was a high-ranking official, but God had used him to pen and write some beautiful poetic prophecy that we can look down and back to. And he said, here, I want to tell you about something great. In a time of defeat, I want to tell you about a Son of God that's going to be given. See, what he said is, in a time of trouble, there's something better to come. You think we live in a time of trouble? I seen the news this morning. Amen. We live in a time of trouble. About 1 o'clock last night, there was a shooting in Louisville, by the way. Seen that on the news this morning. Terrible news I heard about this. There's drugs running rampant around our world today, right here in Jamestown, Kentucky. In Taylor Campbellsville, listen, we got a lot of drug problems over there. Alcohol, ever. We went out to eat the other night. It's disgusting. I couldn't even sit in a restaurant without smelling the odor of alcohol. We live in a time of trouble, just like they did in southern Judah. But let me tell you some good news. There's a better way. There's a greater hope. There's a son that's been given, a child that's been born, and we're going to celebrate him here in about 8 days, his birth. And he came that you can have love. So if you're not part of the us, then you've never accepted that love. That love that fills a heart and changes a soul and changes a life. It'll make you a new person. But you can have that love today. You can have it this morning, right now. The same God that Isaiah was talking about and prophesying, the same God that Mary picked up in that manger, the same God that Joseph accepted to be to rear him up in this world, is the same God that's spiritually calling you home today. So just call me an old Jew. So I'm right down from the depths of Jerusalem, adopted into the family of Abraham, raised up in the streets of Salem, which is peace. And I serve a king called Jesus Christ. So call me an old Jew. You get me to smile. Now I want to call you an old Jew. Because right here at an altar of prayer, I started my journey to Bethlehem. I want you on that same road. I want you on that same journey. I want you to walk through the gates of pearl. I want you to go to heaven. Why not to see me or mom and dad or grandma? That's just going to be just added benefits, my friend. But I want you to look upon the one who loved you enough to leave the grace of heaven and beside the Father to be born as a babe in a manger in Bethlehem and to say, I love you enough. And I want you to come. Come get us a song, somebody. Melody.